Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brocken. Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. From time to time, we will have a special presentation on a variety of topics. Homeopathy is a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke. Please contact HWC if you would like to help support the show as a sustaining member or have suggestions for future shows. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Please share by tweeting on Twitter, posting on Facebook and MySpace, and all other social networks. You may select the widget and place the player on your blog or website. With gratitude to all our listeners, let's go!
Hello, everyone. Today is June 19th, 2013. I'm going to start off with a quote by Dr. Ellen Cutler. If there was only one supplement I could recommend, it would definitely be a vegetarian full-spectrum digestive enzyme blend with most meals. And in 1 hour, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Cutler, the founder of BioSet, Bioenergetic Sensitivity Enzyme Therapy, the system of healing for that she has found works for herself and her clients. And she has been doing this for in this journey to healing her digestive discomforts for 25 years and has found some solutions and has also become a chiropractor and a health consult. So we are going to be talking today of continuing our studies of the principles and art of cure by homeopathy, and the author of that book is Dr. Herbert Roberts, MD. We're coming to nearing the end, chapter 30, called Psychosis Over Construction. And in the previous chapters, we have been learning about the different miasms or hereditary tendencies, which some people might find applies to the way they are able to or not able to digest their food, whether they have malabsorption or are not able to assimilate the vital nutrients to keep the body running like a well-tuned machine. And we talked about that in previous chapters. If you want to go back and look at the chapter on psoric miasm, P-S-O-R-I-C, and now we're up to the third psychosis. And this is what Dr. Roberts says. When we come to analyze the psychotic miasm, and it's different from P-S-Y-C-O-T, it is without a P. It's not talking about your psychotic mental breakdown. It's talking about a psychotic miasm. In relation to the table of elements, so we're going to compare it and look at some of the remedies on the periodic table and their respective atomic weights. We find an entirely new grouping of symptoms. We have stated in the summary of the miasmatic symptomatology that the psoric, that's the one I was just mentioning, manifests most strongly functional symptoms. In other words, they're not going into pathology. The syphilitic, S-Y-P-H-I-L-I-T-I-C, has its hallmark in ulceration and destruction of tissue. So that is definitely pathology, even to the bony structure. Well, the psychotic miasm has an opposite manifestation, infiltration, and overgrowth. So the syphilitic, you'll see indents and eating away and cutting away and destruction of the bones or tissues. And here for the psychotic is the opposite. You're going to have a lot of growth, condylomata, warts, moles, fungus. Therefore, we see that the psychotic stigma presents a problem in physical construction that is the exact opposite of the psoric. Granting that our theory has been so far sound, says Dr. Herbert Roberts. Thus, while the psoric patient is unable to assimilate sufficient elements from sunlight, air, water, food, etc., for well-rounded physical structure in which to house a normal, healthy mind and spirit, we find that the psychotic patient is too susceptible to the available constructive elements. He seizes upon and assimilates to the point of overgrowth of tissues. If this is so, it explains the reason for pathology in all parts of the body that manifest overgrowth of natural tissue. And we have already noted that where we find malignancies with overgrowth of tissues and infiltrations, we are almost always able to trace the psychotic taint. So we're still talking about hereditary tendency that happened based on certain stresses and triggers in a person's lifetime. So it could be that it's not manifest, it's not showing, it's not pathology, nothing is really happening, but it's just staying dormant in the body until some kind of stress brings it out. Consider the necessary elements for physical construction and the lavish manner in which they are supplied by nature in fresh air, sunshine, fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, and even in fresh seafood and animal tissue, which we adapt for food. So he's saying everything that the Creator has provided is nutrients, supplies us the necessities of life. But if you're in a psoric state, you can't absorb it. You can't get into it. Now, if you're in a psychotic state, you have gets absorbed so readily, it's so available that you have an overabundance of it. And see, let's see what he tells us. In the case of manganese, for instance, McCollum tells us that but a small amount is required in our daily food, but that it is very difficult to prepare a diet entirely free from the element for experimental purposes. If it is so difficult to prepare food and omit the small amount required, what in excess of the substance must be available in a normal diet? Yet, the healthy normal system absorbs only the amount required to maintain a state of health. So it's like your body has an innate wisdom to know how much of a nutrient to extract from your food, or how much sunlight you should be getting. So if you feel like you're getting burnt, your body wisdom will tell you to go into the shade and get out of the sunshine because you don't want to get too much. We all need a modicum amount daily to get the vitamin D and all of the systems working. And for so many diseases today, we're learning that this is vital. And that's why probably in ancient times, they were sun worshippers because they knew the sun provided such vital information to keep the body going. So we have here in this chapter 30 a list of anti-psoric remedies that has been compiled from several standard works on Materia Medica. We shall give a list of excerpt from this, comprising only those remedies with a primary chemical relationship. It will be noted that almost all of these remedies fall within the group of body constructive elements, but it is significant that the so-called double salts predominate. Another interesting fact is that the carbons are almost entirely lacking, while the calcareous appear infrequently. Chemical combinations of the very lowest elements are found to be fairly frequent, as in fluoric acid, nitric acid, and ammonium muriaticum. It is interesting to note that while there is a preponderance of the calis, calicarb is omitted. It will be noted, too, that while aurum muriaticum, baryta muriaticum, cinnabaris, mercury, and plumbum appear in the list, the first three are tinctured with elements of a much lower atomic weight, while the last two are comparatively rarely indicated in true psychotic conditions, unless there is a syphilitic taint as well. Although, of course, these might be indicated when the condition approaches disintegration of the tissue, as toward the final chapter of a disease. Let us examine these remedies and comparing their relationships by the number on the periodic chart to the elements. So I'm going to give you a list of the periodic table elements that he's talking about that is correlated to the psychotic miasm, the miasm of overgrowth, the miasm of having too much, of being able to absorb too much of an element in from the environment. And, you know, you want to think about that. Many of these elements are injected into the body, are readily spread through sprays, pesticides, insecticides, chemicals, household cleaners, polishes, all different kinds of things in our environment that are, when we do fracking of the earth, we release gases, all of these different things that we're bringing up to the fore above the earth's crust, things that probably were deep down there and not really coming out in such large quantity. What about fumes from manufacturing plants and vehicles on the streets? So there's a lot of things out there, and one of them is even in our water and added to our water when perhaps it may not be necessary. So here they are. Aluminum is number 13. Ammonium mur, 1717. Antimony, okay, so I think that the numbers are next to some kind of a reference point. Oh, yes, they are the periodic element numbers, because the ones that have more than one number next to it means that it is a mixed remedy or a salt that has formed a bond together. Two different elements have bonded together and created a new gestalt, a new element altogether. So alumina is 13, ammonium mur is 1, 7, and 17, antimony is 51, argentum is 47. And I'm just going to check out there for anybody who wants to join me in this discussion. You are very, very welcome to get onto the chat and talk to me, send me notes, let me know what you're thinking, if you have any reference point to what Dr. Herbert Roberts is talking about, or else when Dr. Ellen Cutler comes on in 1 hour, what it is that she is going to talk about these digestive enzymes. And it seems very much appropriate to what we're talking about with Dr. Herbert Roberts. I'm going to say shout out to all those people who have helped me in the past, who have shared these shows and who put it in their email or on their website. I'm hoping that more people will get this last-minute invitation. Okay, so we're going to continue on with the talk now about the principles and art of cure, listing the number of remedies that are associated with the psychotic miasm, Argentum is number 47. Arsenicum is number 33. Aurum muriaticum is a combination of number 17 and number 79 as a salt. Barita muriaticum, also 17, which must be the muriatic portion, and 56. And then number borax is a combination of number 1, number 5, number 8, and number 11. So there's four elements combined to make borax. We know that is wonderful remedy for thrush, for fungus, for also eliminating ants in your house. We have bismuth, number 33. We have bromium, number 35. And we have calcarea foss, number 15 and 20. Cinnabaris, number 16 and 80. Chlorine, number 17. Ferrum iodatum is number 26 and number 53. Ferrum foss is 15 and 26. Fluoric acid is number 1 and number 9. And number graphites is a combination of three different elements. We look at graphites as a carbon, so number 6, number 14, and number 26. Hepersulf is number 16 and number 20. Calibichromicum is number 19 and 24. Caliiodatum is a combination of number 19 and 53 on the periodic chart. Cali muriaticum, number 17 and 19. Cali sulfuricum, number 16 and 19. Lithium is number 3. So thinking about lithium, very high on the periodic chart of elements that we typically think of lithium carb for manic depressive or some kind of mental disease and disorder, which is often given someone has having problems sorting things out in their life and keeping on an even keel. That's lithium is number 3. Mercury is number 80, and that is prevalent in our environment. Mercurius core is number 17 and number 80. Mercurius iodatum rubrum is number 53 and 80. So you can see the 80 portion through the last three and one more. Mercurius solubus is 1, 7, 8, and 80. So now we see why that is a complex mineral, a complex homeopathic remedy, Mercurius solubus. Natrum muriaticum, very widely known for grief and used commonly, number 11 and 17. Natrum sulfuricum, that is number 11 and 16, also very highly used for concussion, head injury, depression, worse for humid and wet weather. Nitric acid, number 1, 7, and 8. Phosphorus is number 15. Plumbum, lead is number 82. Silica is number 14. And sulfur is number 16. That is the list of remedies, comparing their relationships by number to the elements. So it's a mix all the way from number 1, which was in borax, and mercurius sol and nitricum acid, all the way down to number 80. I don't think there was any past number 80. So he says it is not to be thought that these remedies, even with those from animal and vegetable sources added, are all that might be indicated in psychotic conditions. But these show the trend of the remedies that are most likely to be indicated. It is an accepted fact that all plant remedies contain the constructive elements rebuilt into potential and varied combinations in every species of plant life. So too, our animal remedies have their value only in what has been made of the elements assimilated and rebuilt. it is this reconstruction that gives their potentiality. However, in the association of elements with the remedies under construction, we note a greater proportion of those containing chlorine, number 17, than any other element. So if you look through it, he says most of them have, a good number of them do have the element chlorine. Further, and we know that chlorine itself is carcinogenic, and it is also a cleanser, and we use it for decontamination, and we put it into swimming pools, and we flush our waterways with it and wash clothes with chlorine. Further, we note a gap between bromine, that's number 53, and argentum, number 47. In order of atomic weights, the following fill in this space: krypton, number 36, rubidium, number 37, strontium, number 38, and yttrium, number 39, zirconium, number 40, columbium, 41, molybdenum, 42, and an undetermined one, he has number 43, which probably if I researched it, we could find what that one is today. Ruthenium, number 44, rhodium, number 45, palladium, number 46. And these are further down in the periodic chart and are used. Some of them are in combination today with the lanthanides, more prominently in new cases, especially if you're studying Jan Scholten. Of these, strontium, and you can see also that like strontium is from nuclear fallout, and palladium have had considerable provings, and both have been found useful in psychotic conditions. However, strontium is found in natural association with plumbum, and its greatest influence homeopathically seems to lie along similar lines. Palladium and rhodium, the latter has had a brief proving, are associated in their natural state with platinum, the latter being in the higher register of atomic weights we consider as being more particularly in the destructive classification. However, cadmium is a remedy, that's number 48, is a remedy to be considered in this antipsychotic group, particularly in pathological end product. And, you know, don't you think about the giving off of energy with cadmium, like cadmium lithium batteries? So the stability or instability of lithium with the instability or heavy weight of cadmium. And all of these other remedies, you'd have to research where they are being used today in manufacturing and how they affect living organisms if they have too much quantity or even a small amount, how they affect the living organism. Some of the elements that come within the range of the constructive group, yet which have never been defined as having constructive roles, have been detected by the spectrograph in milk. And yes, we do check mother's milk today to see about all of these elements. And we also know that our foods, such as Celtic sea salt, Himalayan sea salts, have many of these elements in trace amounts, which we find are very beneficial and necessary for life. He says also that the elements that can be found in the spectrograph in milk are barium, number 56, boron, number 5, lithium, number 3, rubidium, number 37, strontium, number 38, titanium, 22, zinc, 30, and also by other investigators, you're going to find aluminum, 13, chromium, 24, lead, 82, silicon, 14, tin, 50, vanadium, 23, manganese, number 25. And I'm sure you'll find even more and in more quantity today, many of these elements, and also pesticides and other chemicals from our environment. These are by no means, he says, all the inorganic substances contained in milk, but are those that have been detected only in traces, and their constructive duties have not been defined. So we haven't figured out what they're there for and why we have them in the mother's milk, whether it is positive or possibly not helpful. Detection of these elements is of particular interest in that it suggests roles of some sort to elements heretofore missing in our constructive elements. And because of its inclusion of barium and lead, the latter being so far beyond the constructive limits as we have understood them. Moreover, these elements associated with physical functions of the body, albeit in animals, leads us to inquire why elements of such high atomic weight should appear in nutritional functions. Was this by some chance, by some imperfection of technique on the part of the investigators, or have we a still wider field beyond that compassed by our present knowledge and the hypothesis founded thereon? And remember, Dr. Herbert Roberts was writing in the 1950s, at his latest dates in the 50s and before that. So we have learned quite a bit more about the elements today and what they are used for in electronics and in manufacturing, in building spacecrafts and other underwater equipment. So it's true, we're constantly learning new things and understanding about our world, how we interact with our environment and how our environment interacts with us, imposes different limitations, boundaries, or opens us up to something new. The comments, Dr. Roberts says, upon the remedies frequently associated by symptomatology with the problems of heredity or contracted disease taints must be understood to be no more than the first uncertain steps toward a newer understanding of the relationship of our potentized remedies to cases that may present themselves before us. We realize it is far less important to rationalize the reasons for than to embrace a knowledge of the means to care for these conditions. So if he's saying that, sure, we do have to search for reasons why. We do have to understand how homeopathy works. We want to understand about the elements in our environment and the relationship to humans, pets, plants. But we also, he puts at a primary the care for people who have conditions where these remedies, these energetic remedies, may be helpful. While these suggestions of the possible modus operandi of a certain group of elements are extremely rudimentary, it is hoped that the problems involved will be clarified by more study to the point where here too we may verify the whole process of logical reasoning and scientific procedure that has made homeopathy the, and he puts it in capital letters, the profoundly coherent system of healing. Thus, Dr. Herbert Roberts, a physician of his time, well known, a great author, great healer, an investigator of understanding homeopathy, understanding his world during the nuclear age, wanted to say that all of these investigations for homeopathy are very scientific and validated by their usefulness in healing people with these energetic remedies. Chapter 31 is called Disease Classification, a Summary. Let us summarize the different stigmata, the taints, the hereditary miasms, remembering that we may get all shadings of all the stigmata in their groupings in our patients. But one of them, one stigma, will predominate above all the others. So we have a little bit of everything inside of us. We are human. We have a lot in our DNA. But one of these hereditary taints is going to be more manifest. It's like your genes. You're going to have dominant and recessive. He says, they all have their characteristic differences. The accentuation of sora, P-S-O-R-A, is function. The accentuation of the syphilitic taint, S-Y-P-H-I-L-I-T-I-C, is ulceration. So you think about acne and ulcers, things that are eating away. The accentuation of the psychosis is infiltration and deposits, things like growths and warts. When suppressed, the syphilitic stigma spends itself on the meninges of the brain and affects the larynx and throat in general, the eyes, the bones, and the periosteum. The sora spends its action very largely upon the nervous system and the nerve centers, producing functional disturbances, which are better by surface manifestations. So local applications is going to make that person having that dominant hereditary taint, it's going to make them feel better to put things on the surface. Psychosis attacks the internal organs, especially the pelvic organs and the sexual organs. In this stigma, we find the worst forms of inflammation, infiltration of the tissues, causing abscesses, hypertrophies, cystic degenerations. When thrown back into the system by suppression, which means those surface applications, lotions, steroids, all the things that are going to stop the expression of this, the way the manifestation would naturally occur, when you suppress the stigma, it causes a mental, emotional kind of response. He says it causes dishonesty, moral degeneracy, and mania. So that's probably where we got psychotic attack with a P in front of the psychosis, is that mania, hysteria, out of your mind, crazy, insane. In treating patients suffering from these stigmata, this classification is of inestimable value, for it immediately throws the similimum into a class of remedies corresponding with the accentuation of the stigma that is outstanding in the case, and this should be considered in the totality. It will often throw light upon the choice of a similimum that is applicable to the individual case and stage of development. So here he's telling us that if you understand, if you've taken a good consultation, if you've taken good notes and have organized it well and understand that it is falling in either the soric condition, which is functional, the person has got a lot of nervous and fears and they feel better when you apply something on topically on the body, or that they end up in the syphilitic, which you're seeing a lot of ulcerations, burning, eating away, or you're looking at the psychotic hereditary miasm with infiltrations and deposits. When you understand which group of symptoms they're falling into this pattern, you're going to have a grouping, a listing of remedies that have been used over 200 years more often, so it can narrow down your scope of remedy selections, and you understand that it's going to probably act much better. And in fact, Grant Bentley, who does homeopathic facial analysis, uses a similar approach to understanding the energy that we have a tendency to use, whether we are enclosing ourselves or pushing things out of the body or moving in a circular centrifugal force, and bringing it really down to physics and science in this manner. So basically, Dr. Herbert Roberts is explaining that Dr. Samuel Hahnemann was using these three miasms for chronic disease. And he says, when we are considering a case manifesting mixed stigmata, there is always one more prominent, and this will be the one requiring relief. When this one is relieved, the next and prominent must be cared for. until the patient is freed from the inheritance of generations. And I understand that many homeopaths will actually provide for a pregnant woman sulfur or some other remedy to help her through the pregnancy and to boost the immune system of the yet unborn infant. I think we're going to have Dr. Ellen Cutler arriving in about 6 minutes or so. She's going to call in, and that will be great. Looking forward to talking with her about digestive enzymes. And, you know, this really falls into what we've been discussing in the last number of sessions with Dr. Herbert Roberts, The Principles and Art of Cure by Homeopathy, regarding the tendencies that people have toward digestion and where the seat of their discomforts are and functional and pathological disorders. So if it is in the digestive, we might be looking at a soric miasm for the malassimilation and the malabsorption of the nutrients that are in our foods and drinks. And he goes so far as to say, you're not even able to gather the energy from the sun and from the water and the air properly in order to live completely free from disease now, or just some suffering or discomfort. I'm going to give a little bit of an introduction to Ellen in a moment. And I understand that there are folks who are on Facebook who have responded to my post regarding her interview today. And there's a lot of question about eating grains and not eating grains and whether that is something that is good for you. We also have concerns today about the change in our natural sources. So always going toward organic plants, vegetables, fruits, and animal sources for our nutrients. There's constantly news that we put up on Homeopathy World Community. I'd like to let some of you out there know that Dr. Usmani has recently posted a humorous blog called What's a Symptom? And he can really make you laugh about how sometimes we look at taking a case. I've also posted the entire Monsanto movie onto Homeopathy World Community. So if you have time and want to look at a documentary, it will be really great to understand a little bit about what is really happening to our food today. One of the movies is called The Seeds of Death, the Monsanto movie, and understanding what's happening to our planet regarding genetically modified engineering. It's something completely different than we've ever seen on the planet before. Creating new foods, combinations of foods that the Creator did not provide for us, putting fish genes in tomatoes, for instance, or putting pesticides or insecticides into our seeds, and how we as humans will, you know, we're the top of the food chain, and whatever we eat is what we're composed of, what we eat. All of it is distributed to ourselves. Some people will say that it is not, because our digestive enzymes are changing and destroying some of these changes in the DNA, the molecular structure. But I don't know whether that is true. I think that somehow the body absorbs something or finds it foreign, something that they've never come across before and doesn't know what to do with it. And in fact, we can easily become hypersensitized to our traditional foods like peanuts, simply because vaccinations have peanut oil in them, and when you inject that into the body, it becomes a foreign substance. And now the body produces some sort of antihistamines or some kind of triggering agent that says, this does not belong here. And then when the child or the person breathes in the molecules of the peanut oil in the air, or they have some of that peanut oil in the food and it gets near the body or in the body, there's going to be an allergic reaction, which could be quite violent, even to death. The simplest way to explain to you what's happening to the seeds is like the mother, the female part of the plant, and this is something that people were asking me. How is it possible for the anti-GMO theorist to claim that the drift from the GMO seeds or plants can contaminate organic crops when GMO seeds are completely sterile and won't grow if you plant them? And this is making us sterile too as a population. It's more and more difficult to become pregnant, not just because people are having children later in life, but because of the environmental contaminants, because of the phytoestrogens that mimic our own hormones, our own growth and reproductive hormones, and mess up our cycles. So the thing is, if the seeds are created to be sterile, meaning that the new seeds won't produce a new crop if you gather the GMO plant, how is it possible that when you plant a field with a GMO crop, it can mingle with the organic crop, which is near its border, and contaminate it? So to explain that is that the seeds are like the mother and the female part of the plant, the fruit, and they have been designed to shrivel and die, not to send out roots and grow. People can gather the fruits and replant directly from the original seeds purchased from months. They cannot gather the fruits and replant directly from the original seeds because they're made to abort. The ancient tradition of planting the next generation of seeds will be gone. And this takes away life for people in countries that are buying these Monsanto seeds. However, the male part, the sperm or the pollen of the flowering part of the plant, will be spread by the insects. This is cross-pollination. If they weren't killed by the Roundup, the wind, the birds, and the other animals are going to spread the pollen, the male part, and it's going to reach the organic field. And that is going to create a new hybrid plant, half composed of the GMO and half composed of the original organic plant. Now the organic farmer's fields have been contaminated. If there's an inspection, he cannot claim that they are organic, especially for folks who don't want to buy any GMO, genetically engineered or modified plants. And now he cannot sell his produce, and he is going to go bankrupt if he's stuck with these products. And that's why countries are burning cargo loads full of shipments of these GMO seeds and plants. So no one's going to want to purchase these. Now, the new GMO organic hybrid, it's possible for the farmer to save these new hybrid plants and replant them. And that's where it gets into the legal issues, the legal ground, and possibly trouble with the law, because when you get the Monsanto seed is patented. And because it's patented, the manufacturers, whether they're Monsanto, DuPont, Dow, or any other seed manufacturer, they own the rights to these patented plants and patented seeds, which means they're really not feeding the world if they want to sue the farmer. They're not supporting the farmer. They're not supporting the population of people who want organic produce. And therefore, where is their heart? Where is their mind? What is their incentive and motivation? What is it that they really want to do? Do they really, if you watch all of their marketing in their commercials and advertising about feeding the world, is that true or untrue? And now, we as humans will have a problem digesting these foreign plants and foreign foods, including fish, that are also contaminating our ocean. So the major issue is ownership and rights to plants, to the seeds, to the land, to the water, which also gets contaminated, and to the air. So I highly recommend watching the movie called The Seeds of Death and Unveiling the Lies of GMO. It's on Homeopathy World Community. Leading scientists, physicians, attorneys, politicians, and environmental activists will be speaking on this documentary to expose the corruption and danger surrounding the widespread use of genetically modified organisms, including people like Gary Knoll. Okay, and there are many other great movies on there. The Future of Food, which is an hour and a half movie. So if you want to watch something one evening and take some time out from studying homeopathy, that will be something definitely to watch. What else can I tell you on Homeopathy World Community? I want to let you know that Anna Vervarchik has been posting blogs about her walk around the world in advocacy, promoting homeopathy, talking to many homeopaths, taking cases along the way. I think this is a one full year in honor of her 60th birthday. She started maybe six months ago now, but we did have an interview with her sometime back. The other thing that I wanted to let people know is that it is really coming up very strongly in the news. The last, I would say 6 years, originally broadcast in 2008, was a news article with Jenny McCarthy about how she cured her son from autism and how people are really taking the responsibility of caring for themselves, their own health, and the health of their children into their own hands. Because they're not satisfied, they don't feel as if the medical system is fulfilling the needs. Are our children really, really getting well, or are we only managing disease? Are we only giving drugs? Are we learning more about nutrition? Are we learning how different people and each child has certain susceptibilities, which is what we've been talking about all along with Dr. Herbert Roberts and the miasms, our hereditary taints and our susceptibilities. Some people might have difficulty in their bones or having migraines or with vision or with dyslexia, autism, Crohn's disease, GERD, all these different things, with eczema, with psoriasis. We have so many chronic diseases. Are they really ever getting healed, or are we just covering it up with lotions and potions and try this pill and try that pill? What can we do to take more control of our lives and our health so that we can get on with life and do our mission, fulfill our mission, whether it is to serve other people in some way, to inform, to be artistic, to glorify the life and the world. So I put up there a quick little video of Jenny McCarthy just to highlight that, what is going on today in the world, because it is catching on. It's catching on like wildfire. People do want to heal themselves, really, and heal their family and take more responsibility. I've also posted up a really something for fun, for enjoyment, and for Motivation and Inspiration. And that is a PBS video about Jake Shimabukuro, who plays the ukulele. It's a four-stringed instrument. It has a traditional sound. It is known in Hawaii specifically as the instrument of that country. And it, this little video, this is like a life story of where he was, how he started, how he persevered and put all of his energy, time, and effort into perfecting his craft, into exploring the different kinds of sounds that it, this instrument could make, and how he matured over the last 28 years or so and developed who he was, his voice, his sound, and now is performing around the world. And so I've also added to that some of the homeopathic rubrics that you might associate with love of music, concentration of music, themes of music, feeling better by listening to music. And two of those are Aurum Metallicum and Tarantula. And how a person can soothe themselves using music, a musical instrument, or singing, or humming, or some other form of music, playing an instrument, or listening to those beautiful sounds. So that, I hope you enjoy that piece. And I welcome you also to look at all the other forum articles here on Homeopathy World Community. There's a lot about Alzheimer's medical news that I've put up there for you. It's a conglomeration of lots of different things, different approaches, starting with the story that fish were always called brain food, and now we have scientific research into proving or disproving that. So to you, do you feel like old wives' tales or what your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents handed down was actually the wisdom that we should be following? Or do you think we should investigate it and break it down into some molecules and chemicals or metabolic process in the body, and that's going to give us more information than we knew before? Or maybe it'll tell us something that we can do to improve our lives. And I find it really funny when scientists come up with this grand announcement as if some fish is brain food. Yes, it is good for your brain. It's good for preventing Alzheimer's or delaying it due to the oils, the omega-3s that are in the fish that we take in. And our brain really needs a lot of lubrication and oil for it to function really well. And I just find that humorous myself. So there are a number of reports on Johns Hopkins, Medscape, and CNN about the brain food and the fish food that contains omega-3 to clear plaque. So, okay, so we're learning a little bit more about why or how it's working, because we are humans and we want to know, we want to understand how things work. And I see we have a guest who is logged in. We're going to have Dr. Ellen Cutler coming on soon. I'm just giving a short rundown of things that you can see. If you go to homeopathyworldcommunity.com and peruse, scan, and skim through the forum discussions and the blogs, omega-3 rich diet may protect against Alzheimer's disease. And they say may. They don't give it a definitive because we're never actually sure. Will it protect people from memory loss? I guess 1,219 people in the study who were recorded over the age of 65 for more than a year and did check their blood for the beta amyloids. This differs from the previous studies on brains of deceased persons. So they try all different ways to look inside the body, peer inside, and see the mechanisms and pathways and understand what's happening to protect people from Alzheimer's. And you know what? You think about it, if you start from the word go, if you start from our environment and realize we have too much of heavy metals, we have too much aluminum out there in our environment, we have too much aluminum in the number of vaccines that we're injecting into the body, along with MSG, which cause migraines, and formaldehyde, which we know is a preservative and carcinogenic. We put little frogs in a jar of formaldehyde or snakes or other animals and put it up on the shelf. Why are we injecting it into the body? It's strange to me. Certainly we have to look in the additive way of looking at the things that we eat and put into our body, but we also have to look at the things that we're putting into our environment from the industry, from technology, and even from the new age of technology, the digital age, where all of these circuitries have lots of metals, and that is also going into our environment. And the people who take apart these instruments, our computers and mobile devices, are gathering up the amount of these precious metals. They are precious metals for monetary gain, which is their right and very good, but they might not be protecting the inhalation of some of these metals. So that's where we are today, and we're going to be talking in about 3 minutes to Dr. Ellen, and I'm going to send her a message to remind her to be here, and I'm sure she'll be on time. She has a busy day, and we are very, very pleased that she's going to be joining us. So stay tuned. And if anybody has a story and wants to call in or put a comment on to talk to us about your own experience with digestive enzymes or difficulty with digestion to begin with. And one of the things that homeopaths use are something called bowel nosodes. And those are the good flora, the good bacteria that are in our body, and we are symbiotic relationship with them. And for this reason, many of these bowel nosodes are now coming back into usage. They were in use decades ago, but they're being more prominently used, especially through the use of antibiotics. And I think we have Ellen on the line right now. Hello.
Hello. Hi. This is Dr. Ellen. Hi. How are you?
This is Debbie, and I'm so pleased you were able to call in without any problem. And I've been talking for about an hour discussing Dr. Herbert Roberts about miasms, hereditary disease, susceptibility to being able to absorb and assimilate the nutrients from our foods, and about just in general our environment and the things that are out there and changing our world and changing the way we interact with our world. So I'd like to give you a formal introduction today, that Dr. Ellen Cutler has great experience in many fields of health. She's a passionate advocate for natural health and healing, the founder and developer of BioSET, that's bioenergetic sensitivity and enzyme therapy, a system of healing that incorporates enzyme therapy with nutritional counseling, detoxification, and the identification and clearing of food and other sensitivities. This really falls right in line with what I've been talking about for about an hour. Dr. Cutler, do people call you Dr. Ellen, or do they call you Dr. Cutler?
They call me Dr. Ellen usually.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And you have been the author of numerous books and articles. You have a brand new one. I don't know exactly when it came out, Clearing the Way to Health and Wellness.
It was just published about a couple of months ago, so it's brand new.
Brand new. That's exciting. I'm sure we'll learn a little bit more about it. And that book provides the overview of the BioSit system and gives a number of case studies. Well, homeopaths love case studies, to effectiveness, the effectiveness and wide range of health problems. So these are things that you're going to learn if you get the book about proper diet, supplementation, and desensitization. You have a clinic in the San Francisco Bay Area. Do you also help folks who are not local?
Yes. People do come to the clinic from all over the world, actually, and I also do Skype with people. But I train health practitioners, too, so there are a listing on my website of all the BioSit practitioners all over the world. So for people to use, hopefully, if they have somebody in their area.
Great. So it's always wonderful to be a teacher and train other people to continue on with the legacy of your work, especially in today's environment. I'm sure many people will benefit from this. We have epidemic levels of people who are having the symptoms that you had, the bloating and tiredness, fatigue, depression is widespread, constipation, and basically the allopathic, the conventional method is to kind of give drugs. I don't know, what did you find out in your journey?
My journey started when I was a really young girl, and I always had all those symptoms, all these digestive symptoms, which many women and men, mostly women, come in to see me today and
you have
the
an
other healthcare practitioners.
Why is it women? Why are the women the ones who come down with these issues?
You know, I think that, first of all, women probably are a little bit more cognizant or aware of some of their symptoms, as opposed to sometimes men tend to maybe ignore it or don't really see it as a symptom as much as women. But I think hormones play a huge part of what we go through as women, because many times it is hormonally related, and it's not so much the fluctuations of the hormone, all that comes up, but I have found that most women are actually sensitive to their own hormones, which is something I talk about in my new book, as well as in some of my former book, my previous books as well. And in fact, I've never met a woman that didn't have some sensitivity to it. So that plays a part in many of these health issues. And common symptoms are bloating and gas and indigestion, as well as all these mood swings and depression and pain, chronic pain. A lot of it has to do with some of these sensitivities, and hormones are huge for women, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And would people be misdiagnosed easily, like just being told they have chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, and not really understanding what is at the root cause?
I absolutely agree feel it's absolutely true that we are given these diagnoses. And unfortunately, something like fibromyalgia, well, you're going to have this, and chronic fatigue, you're going to have this for the rest of your life, and we don't really have any solution except for some antidepressants, which has its side effects, which can cause early death as well as other kinds of cognitive problems later on. And women, and you know, people go seek out physicians and don't know what else there is to do, so they start taking these medications, and it doesn't help with the symptoms. It surely doesn't help with the diagnosis because it's just some kind of Band-Aid and usually doesn't even work for most people. And they're feeling like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have this for the rest of my life. And it creates, talk about more depression. And the Bioset method, what I have done, and I've been in practice for over 30 years and worked with all sorts of different conditions that affect the immune system. What Bioset does, it looks at the root of what is going on. So instead of treating the disease, we really treat and support the person. And instead of treating a lab test, we look at what's going on really relative to how they digest their food, how their body's detoxifying, and what they're sensitive to. We all have many different layers of sensitivities that we react to things that we shouldn't react to. And foods are obvious, as well as other things that maybe aren't as obvious, like hormones or other pathogens, things like bacteria, that maybe you don't have an acute bacterial infection, but you could actually be sensitive on other levels regarding your body, all these different levels, to those specific things that can create a lot of problems, can cause havoc in the body and create these symptoms that can mimic many of these chronic health problems that we, again, diagnose as fibromyalgia or as chronic fatigue. And with clearing this, with restoring digestion and using digestive enzymes, supporting the detoxification and doing the clearing, which some of it can be done at home, and that's what my book is about as well, people have enormously successful results, and their life can begin again. And that's what happened with me, for sure.
Do you? I was mentioning a little bit earlier about bowel nosodes, and I know that you are officially a homeopath as well.
I am not officially a homeopath. I actually have professional training as a chiropractor. I also went to medical school, so I had that professional training. But I've studied a lot of homeopathy and do incorporate some of it in my Bioset system relative to detoxification and some balancing of certain meridians. So I do know quite a bit about homeopathy and know about nosodes and miasms and some of the things that you were discussing.
Great. And did you ever study anything about the bowel nosodes?
Well, a little bit. And I have incorporated some of that into the Bioset system as a way to look at it, assess it, and do what needs to be done to work with those particular nosodes relative to it, too. I don't use constitutional homeopathic remedies. I have studied it in the past and have used it, but I really stick to referring other people to homeopaths, or people already have been to them, and utilizing what we do to things that are synergistic to what they're already taking.
Wonderful. Yes. So just for those folks who are interested, there are homeopathic bowel nosodes from Bach and Patterson. They have a long history of using them, and lots of work that you can read about Morgan Pure, Morgan Gertner, Proteus, Psychotic Co., and Dysentery Co., along with probiotics and reintroducing into the bowels the correct flora that needs to be there to help digest. And so you probably end up having a lot of people that have had antibiotics, and that might have been the trigger for their digestive issues.
Definitely, absolutely. That's one of the triggers. And one of the things that I'm sure you've talked about in your show, and I've written about it, is what is called leaky gut. And
okay.
Antibiotics are probably the prime culprit for leaky gut syndrome. And I am, you know, I try to do everything possible to support people so they don't need to use medications at all, because medications inevitably do put stress on the bowel as well as, of course, the liver, which is hugely important. And we already are bombarded by so many things, so many chemicals and other environmental toxins that we can't control. So putting extra stress on the liver and the bowel, you want to do what you can to try to avoid using medications and antibiotics as well. So, you know, sometimes it's something that has to be done, and we can help correct it with the BioCet work as well as your homeopathy too. But hopefully you can use other things maybe instead, first of all, to prevent it, to prevent these infections, but then again, to support mm-hmm. them without having to use it, for sure.
Prevention is wonderful. I started the show with a quote from you, which says, if there was only one supplement I could recommend, it would definitely be a vegetarian full-spectrum digestive enzyme blend with most meals, unquote. And I wanted to know, for the people who are just first learning about this, what is a digestive enzyme, and why would people use it? How does it work?
I love that quote. I'm so glad you mentioned that, too. That's my favorite one, too. Well, enzymes are organic catalysts. They're actually proteins. And our body produces thousands of different enzymes naturally in the body. We have enzymes that help you digest your food, enzymes that support all the different tissues of the body, like repair and the immune system and the energy system and even our hormonal system. And so we have enzymes that are also in foods. Raw food has enzymes, and if you chew your food well, you will utilize those good enzymes in food. It's a simple concept. Enzymes, you know, are, like I said, so important. Our body couldn't function well. They could function without enzymes, but it couldn't function optimally because they're catalysts. They make things happen sooner and the way they should. So what happens, though, is over time, because we don't chew our food, because we have toxicity, because we eat food that's processed, because our soil is probably devoid of enzyme cofactors, we become deficient in our enzymes, especially these digestive enzymes. And then over time, here we go. We have all these digestive maladies that occur, things like constipation or diarrhea or bloating or cramps, and then we're diagnosed with irritable bowel or diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, which is what I was diagnosed with when I was much younger. So in order to help restore our healthy gut and our digestive system, which I believe is the key to optimal health, everything functions based on a healthy gut. Because if we don't digest our food and we're not absorbing all these vitamins and minerals, I don't care. You can supplement with all those stuff. But if you don't digest your food, how are you going to digest all those as well? By restoring digestion, and I believe a full-spectrum vegetarian digestive enzyme is the best, and again, that's why it is the most important number one supplement, you can restore your healthy gut. You can restore healthy bowel movements, and then in the end, your immune system, your skin and hair and nails, your energy, your hormones all benefit exceedingly well and quickly from taking a good digestive enzyme. And again, it doesn't mean you shouldn't eat more raw food, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't chew your food really well, because I instruct my patients and my friends and everyone into that as well. But I've never met anyone that didn't benefit from using a digestive enzyme. Your immune system can change. You'll see people don't get sick as much. And you'll notice people will look at you and say, why do you look so well? And it's just a simple thing about just optimizing your digestive system and optimizing your nutritional absorption of food. And it really, really is the key to longevity, for sure.
Right. So taking it actually with each meal is what you would probably tell your patients to do. How long before you would see improvement?
That's a great question. And yes, taking it right before you eat is ideal. For some people, like children, sometimes that's impossible. So even if you do it with one or two meals or your biggest meal, you will still probably reap the benefits. And I saw results. I mean, I had severe digestive stress and digestive problems for so long. I saw results in 2 weeks, and I never had the problem again that I suffered after 2 weeks. Some people see it almost immediately, within days or hours. And so I would say it starts immediately to about 2 weeks. You will definitely see the results, because once you start digesting your food, and you know, we eat every day, you will notice changes. And it's, again, not only in yourself, but your children, everybody will benefit. I think it's more important than taking a multivitamin, which, again, you could be sensitive to or you could not absorb, taking that digestive enzyme and eating well. And I talk a lot about that with my patients and in my books as well. I mean, that's a huge part of my life. And I'm a testimony to what I practice and what I teach. It makes such a big difference, and anybody can take it. In fact, I would, even kids, even babies starting 1 month old, I'd say even can put a little bit in there.
Is it a liquid drop or is it a pill?
It's a pill, but you can open it. It's a capsule. So for even babies, you can open it up and use it. Like for an infant, you can use a quarter of a capsule, and you can put it in a little water and give them a little, either a dropper on their on their tongue or a teaspoon or something.
So what if, as an adult, I don't like taking pills or capsules. Could I get it as in a liquid form?
There is no liquid form, but you could open the capsule and put it in your food, and it doesn't taste, and it has no taste, so it's fine. There is, and a lot of people prefer doing that too, Debbie, so that's perfect.
Okay, so I have a question also, like, do you have to do this for the rest of your life, or will your body start to perform properly so that it will begin to produce its own enzymes properly?
It's a good question. Your body will produce. See, what happens is when you don't digest your food, other enzymes that are used to support the immune system, for example, will go into the bloodstream and actually start doing the digesting. So guess what happens when you're exposed to viruses, which we're exposed to every day, or other kinds of pathogens, or tumor cells, your immune system is not strong enough to do what it's supposed to do because it's busy digesting the food. And it really doesn't digest. It creates these immune complexes that can cause all kinds of autoimmune aggressive type problems, which I talk about extensively in my book. So if you lived in a place that was free of pollution, and you chewed your food 30 times, and you ate mostly raw food, and you knew that the raw food you were was coming was really loaded with all these good cofactors, you probably wouldn't need a digestive enzyme. But you know what? That's a world we don't live in. So everybody take it for the rest of their life. And what happens is when people stop taking it, Debbie, what I notice is some of their food allergies or food sensitivities start creeping back again. So, yes, it's something I recommend people do. And, again, if you want to just do it once a day, it will really still help quite a bit.
Okay, what about the nutritional dietary advice?
I feel that most people are sugar carbohydrate intolerant, which means that they don't digest or tolerate carbs. So I recommend, I have different groups. I have two different groups. People are either fat, protein intolerant, or carbohydrate sugar intolerant. Most people are carbohydrate sugar intolerant. That's why they crave so much carbs and so much sugar. And they have many symptoms that are related to carbohydrate intolerance, you know, like depression and mood swings and all the bowel problems and weight issues and craving sugar. So these are common symptoms of carbohydrate intolerance. Regardless, if you're even protein intolerant, I do recommend people go off all grains. That's all grains. I find grains are pro-inflammatory. Now, if you are a professional athlete, you know, and your life is about working out for 8 to 12 hours a day, it probably wouldn't matter as much to you if you did eat some carbs or some grains because you burn it off so quickly. But most people don't do that. Most people just sit all day at a computer. So I find grains. So I take people off grains. And it's not just gluten. You know, people, there's such a rage on gluten. And not that I don't agree. I think there are a lot of people who are gluten intolerant. And there are quite a bit of people. It's common now to actually have true celiac disease. But I think people are grain intolerant for sure. And that's all grains, except quinoa is okay. Buckwheat and wild rice is all right. And oats, sometimes people do, they need a little bit of some comfort food like that. I say oats are okay. But I try to, and people do so much better when they go off grains. So, and then mostly raw food. I try to encourage them to eat a lot more raw food. And I am not in favor of a high-fat diet. I think a moderate amount of fat is fine. High-fat, I think, accelerates aging process. That's what I have seen in my practice over years. But the grains are a big one.
That's interesting what you just said about the high fats or accelerate aging. But we need fat, especially in our brain. We need omega-3s. We need avocado and coconut oil and olive oil, those kinds of good fats. So you're saying keep it to a minimum or, you know, how much is okay? Especially if you use it for cooking or salad dressing oil or putting it on toast. Well, what about, I have another question about sprouted grains. So go ahead with the high fats and the sprouted grains.
Yeah, well, the high fat, I mean, I am totally in favor of coconut oil. And again, it's very individual. You know, what the BioSet practitioner does is we evaluate what really is the best for them. But for the average person, yes, coconut oil is wonderful, avocado. I'm total agreement of that. But again, a lot of people take, you know, tons of the omega supplements and tons of, and then you're eating meats that are fat too. So I don't think that, and then dairy products that are high fat, I don't think that you should just not, you know, eat an excessive amount or not look at some moderation of it for some people because it also has to be digested and has to be absorbed. So I am totally in agreement with you as far as the support for the brain and the nervous system and joints and cardiovascular system, definitely. But just to, again, you know, people will you know, in America, people, well, if it's good, then I need to do it in excess. And I think that's what has to just be a little bit more conscious of, not excessive amounts of fats. But I'm definitely in agreement with you. And sprouted grains, the jury's out for me on it. I do find that it's a little bit better, but I find that people are very sensitive to sprouted grains. One of the sensitivities, one of the food sensitivities I have found is sprouted grains. And so, again, it's individual. If somebody feels that they do okay with that and they want to use that here and there, and it's much better than grains for sure.
So you would know it. Like, let's say you had a whole grain sprouted bread. Like, I love Ezekiel bread. But I don't feel like I have any problem processing it. I don't get indigestion or bloating or fatigue or any of the type of symptoms you might be looking for as a signal that there's something going on with malabsorption. So it's all individualized, right?
It's individualized. Like, for example, I had a woman who actually ate it had such a bad reaction because we read the ingredients. There's so many other things that are in it besides the sprouted wheat, you know, and a lot of people are sensitive to some of the things. So it's interesting. Sometimes you pull apart what is in it. So it's breads are it's a conglomeration of different things. That's where sometimes people will have the sensitivities. And when they have sensitivities, sometimes people don't think that that's where it's coming from. Sometimes things can show up days later, could be a result of something they ate, even sometimes up to a month. So anything that is more than one ingredient, sometimes there could be some sensitivity. The Biosense system, the other unique aspect of it is we can actually desensitize and clear. And people can do this at home. I talk about it in the book. I even have the videos on my website free for people to use in the with a companion book to actually do these clearings at home, and they work so well. And you can do that on yourself. You can do that with your kids as well. So if you're suspected of it, you can actually use that Ezekiel bread and do the clearing, and it usually will help. And then maybe you can continue eating it, maybe in combination with taking a digestive enzyme so you know that it's optimally broken down will also be extremely helpful.
Okay, I'm going to give the folks who are listening out there today the name of your website so that they can find the videos. Is it? Do you want them to go to www.micromiracles.com?
Yes, that has the videos and has all about me. The other website is drellencutler.com. Also has the videos, and they are linked with each other as well.
Okay. Okay, great. So it's micromiracles.com or drellencutler.com, and you will be able to find out more about the enzymes, products, Dr. Ellen's story, and all of those videos to investigate and learn more if that's where you're at right now. I knew I had another question from what we were just talking about. You were talking about the clearing. And so the clearing is done energetically or it's done in an colon cleanse or any of those kinds of things?
The clearing is actually like an acupressure type process that you use certain points while you're actually in contact with the particular sensitivity or the product that you want to desensitize or clear. And so it's described exactly like that. And again, someone can do it on you, or there's a way that you can also do it on yourself if you don't have anyone to help you with it. So it's utilizes muscle testing to determine what you're sensitive to it. In the Biosense practitioners, most of them, we have computerized testing that we use here rather than just muscle testing. But, of course, at home, you don't have that available. So muscle testing works really well. So if there is a weakness or a muscle that doesn't stay strong when you're holding something, you probably have some disturbed reaction or a sensitivity to, I always say disturbed reaction because it's something that shouldn't be there. And by doing the process of the clearing, you can reduce or clear that reaction, and then you can eat that particular thing or come in contact with it, and then you won't have a reaction. Now, this doesn't apply to allergies that give anaphylactic reaction. That's way beyond the specifics of Biosense. That's something we don't work with because that's a whole different thing. These are things that are causing sensitivities. So, for example, you get a headache when you have chocolate or coffee. You can clear that and can reduce and sometimes eliminate the headaches. Those are some of the things that I talk a lot about in the process for the Biosense system.
It sounds really incredible. I mean, it sounds like this is a lot of what people are seeking out for their whole body issues, all the different organs are affected by the fact that they can or cannot eat something or be sensitive to something. And so it would help even with sensitivity in their environment to all kinds of pathogens, just working from the gut. That's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even something like, you know, asthma, which is very common for a biostat practitioner to work with, you know, molds and pollens as well as foods. And you know what, Debbie, even emotions, you can even clear. We work with that because you can have a charge or reaction to emotions or person, too, that you can clear for that you don't know where it comes from. And there's so many different levels that it could be on. And that's why I love what you said, that your whole body becomes effective. And you no wonder why you feel fatigue. So when you start clearing,
right,
you feel like a totally different person. I mean, it's amazing. It's almost magic what happens. You feel like the way you're supposed to feel. You feel happy, and you can't believe that you've been suffering so long, and something like this can make such a big difference. And I know one of the things you mentioned was gluten, too. There are a lot of people that are not true celiac that are gluten intolerant. The BioSet system can desensitized to gluten. Not that I think you should eat it, because I don't think people should eat grains anyway. But you know what? Sometimes you go to a restaurant and if they cooked in a pot that had gluten, some people are so hypersensitive they will react to it. This is what the BioSet system can do, can actually clear the gluten sensitivity, as well as the enzymes too can also help with breaking down gluten too. So that's something that I think is extremely interesting and definitely something that is going on right now with a lot of people.
Right. So you're seeing a lot of people. And I know people who are very hypersensitive to gluten to the point of, you know, not being in a room, not going into a bakery. They can't breathe it. They can't get near it. What about lactose intolerant, because that also has been quite prevalent, and that's why on the supermarket shelves you'll see milks that contain the enzymes, or people are taking some kind of an enzyme to break down the milk sugars. So is that part of the BioSet system?
Yes, and our enzymes are full spectrum digestive enzymes that we do have, does have lactase in it that helps you digest milk sugar. And we can also desensitize for lactose, for sure, because if it's not a genetic inherent inability to break it down, some people are just sensitive to lactose, because most people are sensitive to sugars, and that is a sugar, too, as well. But interesting enough, most people who have problems with milk, it's more often the casein, which is the protein, and that's something that also the enzymes can help with, as well as the desensitization. Lactose intolerance will cause a lot of the digestive issues. Casein can cause things like acne or headaches or eczema, or even hives, as well as sometimes attention deficit situations, too, can be as a result of casein. So we are always clearing a lot for casein as well, because it's also, even if you're dairy-free, it's also in sometimes products that you might come in contact with. And if you're dealing with acne, it's one of the most important elements is to clear casein, by the way. So it's very important.
Okay. Wow. That's really fascinating. I don't know how many people actually knew that. And so all of the BioSet, is it the same for everybody? They all get the same complex of enzymes, or are they specific to the problems that the person is having?
Great question. Everyone goes on a digestive enzyme, and it's based on, again, if you're protein intolerant or fat or carbohydrate. most people, the average person, if they get a good full-spectrum vegetarian digestive enzyme, will benefit. Some people really need that individualization or evaluation. And so based on that, their digestive, we recommend a digestive enzyme. And then we also have what's called systemic enzymes or enzyme-based systemic formulas that support other tissues of the body. They're all enzyme-based, so but they support, helping with inflammation, helping adrenal support, thyroid support, as well as immune support, kidneys. So we have the BioSet system. This is available through the BioSet practitioners, do also use these other systemic enzyme supplements as well. So some people might also benefit from using that. But the three things that I give everyone, and I talk about that in one of my books called Micro Miracles, everyone goes on a full-spectrum vegetarian digestive enzyme, a probiotic, which you were talking about earlier, and what's called protease. Protease is an enzyme that digests protein, but when taken away from meals, it works in the bloodstream systemically as a very, very potent, extremely successful anti-inflammatory, as well as helping eat up other proteins in the body that the body might encounter, supporting cardiovascular system, supporting the immune system. So I put everyone on those three things, no matter who they are. What everyone goes on those. So those are my three most important things. And then, of course, I add an omega or vitamin D as well as some other things like that, too. But those are my first things. First is digestive, then is the probiotic, and then is this protease.
Wow. This is getting exciting. I'm really interested. I want to know on your website where I can find somebody in my local area.
Yes. And where are you?
I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I think we have people in North Carolina, too, for sure. Yeah, you can go on the website, and there's a whole list of all our biosephers.
I'm trying to see where on the website I would search for somebody. I see home, enzymes and facts, products, about you, your story, but I don't see where it says practitioners.
Yeah, it's one of the drop-down menus there for practitioners, yes.
Maybe it's on Dr. Ellen Cutler.
It's on the Dr. Ellen Cutler.com website, yes.
Okay, cool. So people need to know that on the Dr. Ellen website, you've got Meet Ellen, the story, and get on the mailing list. You can learn about more about the BioSet system. There's plenty of articles, books, and clearing instructions. That's for free. And about your enzymes. Okay, then under that, it says find a BioSet practitioner.
That's it, right.
And then you have to click the agree form to find out. And there's an alphabetical list by name. Okay, and also by state. And you also have a international. So that's really great. That's awesome.
And, all these practitioners they've been trained by me, and they all are very, very good at utilizing the system, understanding the enzymes, having read my books and studied with me. They are a very good resource as well, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So what would you like to say in the last 5 minutes or so, because I know you have to get into your clinic?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here with you. I'd love to come on again, and your questions were so great. I feel like what I'd like to say, I'm love people to read my new book, Clearing the Way to Health and Wellness, because it really covers a lot of these immune problems, for example, colitis and thyroiditis, as well as chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and even just hay fever, about what are the underlying causes, what is the root of some of these problems, which, again, we covered looking at your digestion, looking at how the body detoxifies, and what you're sensitive to. It is a pure, healthy, balanced, wholesome way of helping and identifying what is causing these symptoms. And it can only support you. It doesn't conflict with anything you're doing right now, any other medical practice. It's a whole other paradigm. And I'm hoping people will learn more about the BioSit system, spread it around, and enjoy what they're learning, and get as healthy, happy, and as they can. And that's really my message, and that's what I've been passionate about for so many years.
Well, I'm so thrilled to speak with you. We met on Twitter, and it happened in a week that we're meeting together here. And just to realize that there's another approach to healing is fascinating to me, because I have never been involved in digestive enzymes. I've known people who could not drink milk, who would have a lot of allergic sensitivities, and have basically been on avoidance diets. And now this is kind of like the trend of changing our diets, all for everybody, changing everybody's habits of the way that we eat. And also you see the big trend in eating raw foods or definitely organic, seeking out grass-fed meat if you have to eat meat, or going more vegetarian. Some people going to the extreme of vegan. If you love cheese, that's a little bit hard to do. I'm also wondering about the cost, because there's cost ratios to everything that we do. How much am I allowed to ask on the air? Is it expensive?
To see a BioSit practitioner?
To purchase these products.
Oh, the products are reasonable. They are, competitive with anything that you're going to get in the health food store. And promoting my products, the only reason I love them, is that, I am passionate about enzymes. And that's been my passion for so long. So I wanted to create something that I knew was the best supplement. And I always say to my patients that not only is it from the best ingredients, there's an incredible amount of love that goes into these products. And I think that's why people love them and do so well, I think there's something about all that, when you love and passionate about something, it's reflected in the products and in the books and what you do. As far as seeing a BioSit practitioner, it so varies depending on where you live. So it's hard to really say. It's best to just call the individual practitioner up and see what they charge too. So then I do Skypes too with people that aren't it's not that expensive. I'm happy to do that. Of course, you can do the actual clearing, but I talk with people all over the world and recommend them doing it, and actually can recommend what enzymes would work. And we send them to them, or they can get it nearby, whatever works for them too. So it varies, but it will save you a lot of money in the long run, that's for sure.
Definitely, it will save you a lot of money. I know I put you on the spot with that question. I for my last question, and you've been so kind in answering everything, let's say you do see a practitioner, you get started, you're on the BioSat products, and you're getting the enzymes, you're seeing improvement. So how many times might a person have to go back to the practitioner once you've figured out your routine and regimen? I mean, are you just on your own after like two or three sessions?
Again, that's very individual, because there's so many – because in the first appointment, most of the BioSat practitioners will assess your level of sensitivity. Some people have a lot. Like people with severe – episodic asthma probably have a lot of sensitivities. They will need probably more appointments or things that they can do at home as well than somebody that maybe is dealing with just some bloating or just some food sensitivities. So some of those can be done in just a couple of appointments, two or three appointments. So again, it really depends on what
right.
your specific problem is. And sometimes people who think they're the sickest sometimes don't need as much. You know, it's interesting. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes they clear up. We see miracles. I always expect a miracle because
I like
never
that.
Know. You know, I never know what their body, what's going on. And it's incredible. Like, I have a woman coming in just really quickly this morning, just now, who when she first saw me, it was about a year and a half ago. And she comes in now once in a while. She's moving away, so I know that she's coming in today just to make sure everything's okay. One of her doctors sent her to me. She couldn't eat anything. She could not eat hardly anything. She had such severe food problems. And now she can eat everything she wants with no problem. I mean, it's like, you know, for some people think it's no big deal. For some people that have been in that particular scenario and they know what it's like, I've been there, so I know what it's like. It's a miracle for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the happiness, you know, for me to see that, for her to experience this, and to be able to say to me every time she comes in, you know, I can eat whatever I want. She can eat anything. Everything gave her problems. And now she can move. She's moving to Mexico. Now she can move to Mexico. And she can eat what she wants and not have to worry constantly about the foods that she's going to have a problem. Anywhere from almost passing out to severe skin problems. I mean, it was headaches on and on. So that's the kind of results we get.
We love miracle stories. You know, very often it's frowned upon to say that they're a miracle, but the person who's living that life, it is, because they have been freed from so many limitations and so much suffering and distress that that's what they will call it. They will call it a miracle. And I know that you probably have to run, and I want to thank you so, so much for being on today's show. I will just finish up on my own the last couple of minutes, and we've had a bunch of people in the chat. They've been quiet as a mouse today, but that's okay. I think we must have been answering all of the questions that they've had, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you. And for anybody who wants to check out, you can go to drellen.com, Micro Miracles. I've got a whole announcement page on Homeopathy World Community about the digestive enzymes. I will put the Blog Talk Radio show archive right there on the website, and you can come back and listen anytime and share these shows on Twitter, Facebook, on StumbleUpon, Reddit, anywhere else, and put it on your website. And I want to announce what's going to be coming up tomorrow, Thursday, on Blog Talk Radio. We will have Alan Phillips, who is the national expert in vaccine rights and exemptions. He always has incredible news for us, and he answers questions. He has been fighting for people around this country who have been losing their rights due to the vaccines that are becoming mandated, especially in healthcare and hospital settings. People are losing their jobs if they don't succumb to, just doing what they're told. And even if it could be a health hazard for a person. And we're also losing our rights, our religious rights, to believe and practice as we wish. Then on Monday, June 24th, we're going to have Dr. Sadeji coming on, talking all about diabetes and homeopathy. He studied with Dr. Pathoulkas in Greece, and it has been his focus and his specialty to help people with diabetes. Of course, diabetes is related to our self-health care, the way our lifestyle, what we eat, insulin, sugar, carbohydrates, and how we prepare our diet. And there are many people out there who are curing themselves from diabetes or the propensity to diabetes simply by changing their dietary habits. I wonder what Dr. Ellen would say about the diabetes epidemic. Maybe when she comes on again, we'll ask her. So that's going to be really exciting. And the following Monday, Dr. Stephen Blake, the pet whisperer, he's incredible. He will be on again. That is the Health In Show at 11 a.m. talking about hypothyroidism and pets. And that's because we had on June 10th on the Health In Show, that's on Nissan Communications Channel. Go to Homeopathy World Community to learn all about these different programs. It's live video. We had Dana Trentini, who is the thyroid lady, and that's what I call her, and you can find her as Thyroid Mom. I just want to give a special shout out to her because she was so incredible on the program and is trying to get to be get an award for the leadership, global leadership award, having parents or new mothers who are still pregnant getting tested, having their thyroids tested and finding out what could be missing or how they can make a change in order to have a healthy pregnancy and a full-term pregnancy. That is her life's mission. So look up, and I'm going to do a search right now. You can go, when you go to Homeopathy World Community, there's a little button that says search this site, and if you plug that in and write Trentini or Dana Trentini, you will probably get to the page. Yes, I've got it right now. And so we need for all those folks out there to help her by clicking on the Change the World search for the 2013 Next Global Thought Leader so that she will have some support and win that special award. Let's take a look also on Homeopathy World Community Facebook today, because I want to tell you I'm very, very excited and happy that so many people are checking out that website and learning more about homeopathy and supporting each other by commenting, sharing their own experiences and thoughts, learning about specific homeopathic remedies. And I love homeopathy, and that's another website called I Love Homeopathy. I share a lot from there. I put on here today a little quote from Dr. John Henry Clark that says, "Miserium is the vegetable analog of and is one of the most important antidotes of Mercurius." So wouldn't it be interesting if the homeopathic miserium could also antidote abuse or abundance or over the too much mercury in our environment and in our vaccines, which comes in the form of thimerosal? Wouldn't it be fascinating if miserium, which is typically known homeopathically for babies that have cradle cap, if that could really help clear the system? There's so many different ways that we can approach healing and clearing out toxins from our bodies. The other quote that I put up, and I hope folks really enjoy it, it's from the Nobel Peace Prize winner chemist Linus Pauling. He says, "Everything in the treatment and prevention of chronic diseases, which is not orthomolecular, which means natural to the human body, will fail," unquote. Linus Pauling, he discovered sickle cell anemia's genetic cause, and his application of quantum mechanics to molecules won him the Nobel Prize for Chemistry in 1954. 9 years later, he won the Nobel Peace Prize for his anti-nuclear activism. And, you know, today we are looking at these ancient nuclear power plants that are starting to fall apart with leaks and cracks in them. How are we going to deal with the next decade of nuclear waste and nuclear power plants? Will we be manufacturing any new ones? or are we going to look into more sustainable types of energy consumption and production? So he also, Dr. Linus Pauling, included presenting a petition signed by 11,000 scientists warning the public about the biological danger of radioactive fallout from nuclear weapons testing. And today we have a lot, not just testing, we have a lot of nuclear fallout, radioactive fallout from Fukushima, which has permeated our atmosphere and dropped into the soil and is in our environment wherever you live. Dr. Linus Pauling was also known as the champion of vitamin C's curative powers. And every day we're learning a little bit more about the benefits of vitamin C. So I wonder if Dr. Ellen would add that in part of her healing, clearing and regimen, along with the vitamin D and the omega-3s. Linus Pauling researched the genetic mechanisms of disease at many universities and at the Linus Pauling Institute of Science and Medicine. He died in 1994 at the age of 93. We owe a lot to his dedication to medicine, to healing, and to science. Well, I appreciate everybody who's hung on the line and today listened to our shows and shared and visited Homeopathy World Community. I'm going to give you another quote by Dr. E.B. Nash. He had written in the book, The Leaders in Homeopathic Therapeutics, quote about Phytolacca and the moon. He says, "I have removed a great many suspicious lumps or tumors in the breast, some of them years standing, by giving a dose of Phytolacca. CM is the potency, centesimal dose, once a month during the wane of the moon. What has the moon got to do with it? That some diseases have their aggravations in certain times of the moon, I know, and certain remedies act better then." So it's really fascinating to understand that we as human beings are affected by our environment, by the planetary systems and the solar system, the sun and all those planets. We are mostly composed of water. Of course, we are learning also that we're majority of us is bacteria. It's more than you think that you're made of. And we live in symbiosis with the planet, with the plants, and with everything in our environment. And that because we're energy beings, our spirit, mind, and body are energy beings, that we could be affected by somebody else's energy in our vicinity, by people who are talking about us or thinking about us, or even the gravitational pull of the moon upon our body and how it works in cycles and patterns. And thus, some of our homeopathic remedies are more potent at different times of the month or times of the day or even different weekly periodicities. In addition, I'm just going to throw this out to you if you have not learned about it. If you are going for surgery, check the cycle, the biorhythmic cycles of, is it in the morning that you're going when the doctor is fresh? Are you going for surgery at a particular, the beginning, mid, or ending of the moon cycle? Because that will also be affecting the outcome and how quickly you can recuperate and heal, just as there are people who are planting their crops at particular cycles of the moon. Because again, we have growth cycles and waning cycles, and we are all affected by it whether or not we know about it. Some people are more sensitive and some are less sensitive. The fact that Phytolacca is wonderful for breast tumors and preventing cancer, it is good to know that he used it at that period in time, the waning of the moon. I hope this has been entertaining, educational, and fun 2 hours for you. And if you have any recommendations, I welcome them for guests to be on the show, or questions or any kind of feedback, we'd love to hear from you. So we're going to end today's show and see you tomorrow.
This is from Kelly Manjaro, Tanzania. Homo Yopati has a lot of people here, man. It's gonna go everywhere in Africa. Brian C, I'm gonna tell you about Homo Yopati.
You wanna hear about what I wanna tell about? Nataka kukikia, nacho taka kuongea. Homo Yopati, Homo, Homo Yopati. Homo Yopati, Homo, Homo Yopati.
Homeopathy World Community Blog.